Hello. My name is Steven, and I use a Nexus 1. Welcome to the Oh snap. It's my baby mama. Hold on. What up, girl? No, I ain't got no money. I can't talk now. Damn, girl, can't get enough of me. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 40 for Friday, November 26th, 2010. It was a very special Thanksgiving podcast, post-Thanksgiving, I guess. It's the day after Thanksgiving. We're a day later. We're at a special time and a special day, and we have a special guest, and we will start with him. We have Craig Johnston. You probably know him from the Crackberry.com podcast, and he's actually written a couple books on Android. Have you told Kevin that you've written these books?
Should I? It'll make him cry.
Do the Crackberry guys know you use other operating systems from time to time?
No way. It's a secret.
We also have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Hey, everybody.
And Corey Streeter from the forums.
Hello, hello. Happy Black Friday.
But Craig, tell me a little more about your books, because they're not just... I guess one of them is a little more all-encompassing, but you also wrote one about a specific phone, right?
Right, so the first Android book I did was the Nexus 1, mm-hmm. and I finished writing the book, and then Google pulled the phones. So anyway, the publisher that I used, Q, got a little bit panicky about that, and so they wanted to kill the book, so I said, no, please keep it, and they kept it as an ebook, so that's good. And I moved on to the Droid book, which I wrote about the four Droid phones from Verizon. Mm-hmm. That was a very challenging book, and that one's out now as well, called My Droid.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I kind of caused a bit of a ruckus this week. Just did a fun little post, R2-D2 is a droid, the droid logo is an android, and then our little mascot Lloyd is Lloyd. But there was an interesting argument going on about what is a droid, because so many people, and I just think they're absolutely wrong, call all Android phones droids. Am I correct in saying that that is just blatantly not good?
I would say not good, because it's supposed to be a Verizon branding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Android is Android is a shortening for Android. No question about that.
Right. Jerry and Corey, am I off base?
No, I think you hit it right on the head. That takes away from Verizon, and the droid is something they paid money to trademark. I don't think they're very happy about people saying the MyTouch 3G is a droid.
Yeah, I've never heard that either.
So basically, I just wanted to start off the podcast with Phil was right, everybody else was wrong. That's it. Good night. See you next week.
See you later, everyone.
That's so quick.
Oh, man. So what do you guys want to start with? We're still waiting on Gingerbread. Nothing really new. Well, we got a couple more hints this week, didn't we, Jerry? Somebody emailed us, an app developer said, hey, I saw it in one of my logs, and actually got us a build number, and that was new.
Yeah. So it's out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we know people are testing it, but the build is GRH14B. No telling if that's going to be, leaked or if it'll be a final build. I'm sure it won't be, right? If you look back to Froyo, there were so many versions of Froyo out there before it ever officially, was released.
But, leak that one to us.
Yeah. You got my email. It's out there. I don't know, Jerry, do me a favor and run over again kind of what we're expecting, because we keep seeing all these stories. Andy Rubin's going to speak December 6th at an All Things D event, and we've gone from Andy Rubin's going to speak to Andy Rubin's going to speak, hey, maybe he'll mention Gingerbread, to Andy Rubin's going to announce Gingerbread, and not quite. So, yeah. Jerry, walk me through the steps again of what we're expecting.
Well, the first thing they have to do is get out the SD and the kernel source. Mm-hmm. It's no good to have the operating system if the SDK isn't out there for the app developers to have updated their apps. And without the kernel source, they're legally not allowed to do anything with Gingerbread. They can't give it to anybody outside of Google. So they'll probably announce it. And if Froyo is any indication, while they're announcing it, they'll release the SDK and the kernel source. And then a week or so, they'll have the rest of the source code out. And at that point, is when you start looking for, you know, the software itself to actually start to get pushed to phones. You know, it's going to be a month or so after they get the source code out. They can't just do it instantly. So, you know, we're looking at easily a month until Nexus One sees Gingerbread, in my opinion.
Craig, you're a longtime Nexus One user. We had that story previously. I think TechCrunch wrote it the first time, saying that the Nexus One would be probably the first phone to get Gingerbread. Do you still think that's the case, or do you think it's going to be this Nexus S that doesn't officially exist, but of course exists because we've all seen it?
I mean, it would be tough for me to call that. I would love the Nexus One to get that, to get it first. I already still love my Nexus One. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure why Google is switching from HTC, you know, if the Nexus X is going to be a Samsung. I'm confused about that because I think the next one.
No, let me ask you about that, because that's been the big question that I've had, is if there's going to be another just stock vanilla phone. I don't care that it's Samsung, whatever, whoever makes it. Why is Google making another one? Because obviously the first one didn't do that much. Why would they do it? How would they do it differently than they did a year ago?
That's a good question. I mean, I actually don't really understand why the Nexus One failed. I know that Google wanted to release a plain vanilla Android phone, and they did that, and the Nexus One was it. Everybody else has customized Android. Yeah, you know, obviously HTC is the worst culprit there. Everything is customized. And so the Nexus One was a great way to experience Android in its original form. But people didn't buy it, I suppose. But I'm not exactly sure what they can do to make the next one sell, if the next one exists. And I'm not sure what they can do to make it sell better.
Yeah, I mean, the original Nexus One was never marketed just at all.
I have a theory about why the Nexus One didn't sell, too. Yeah. For 2 months, 70% of the American public, you know, this doesn't address Europe, was told wait for the Verizon version, and mm-hmm. nobody bought it.
Mm-hmm.
That could be it.
Very good point.
And then Verizon said, we don't want it.
Yep.
The hardware specs of the Nexus S seem a little underwhelming for the next, if this is the next iteration of the Nexus, it seems like they're not making a very big splash on the hardware side.
Well, let's talk about those new specs that leaked out, which might or might not be true. I don't know. Because, I mean, yeah,
that
they don't
not
really
true.
Yeah, they don't really blow me away. An ARM7 processor, which is what we have now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
OpenGL ES supported. Is that different than what we have now?
No. Hopefully they do a better job supporting it, but we have that now.
Says approximately 328 megabytes of RAM. I assume that is, you know, user available, so that, you know, obviously if you have 512, some is already being used by the OS. 1 gigabyte of internal memory, that's fine. I can handle that. 480 by 800 screen, 4-inch screen, Super AMOLED 2, possibly. Who even knows what that is? 720p video recording. Okay, I mean, there's nothing really earth-shattering there. There's that rumor about the curved screen, and Engadget's pretty convinced it's a curved screen. Okay. Cool. I'm sitting here shrugging. Nobody can see it.
I don't. Go ahead, Craig.
Sorry. I was going to hope that they would increase the resolution to start competing with, say, the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, that's what I was going to say.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. Well, great minds and me.
What about the home key getting shoved all the way to the right? That's just freaking me out.
Why do they keep switching everything around? It's
just
getting
screw
so confusing.
Me. Yeah, no, it's just to mess with me. Because anyone who has more than two phones just goes nuts. I want to know what the app is that they covered up the name on there in the home screen, too.
I bet that's something to do with music. It looks like a CD in the icon, doesn't it?
I hope not, because CDs are old and dead.
Well, they still make a good icon.
Yeah, well, that's true. I guess we saw the TV thing is real. We knew that, the little blink off. I mean, cool. I guess. Yeah. I'm trying to be excited.
If this is supposed to be the next developer's phone, and it's going to showcase all the new things that, you know, are going to be supported by Android, sure don't show any of them in these leaked specs. Other than the new screen, possibly.
The NFC stuff, the near field communication. And again, I mean, that's not a new technology. That's been around for a while now, you know, where you tap your phone.
Yeah.
The Circle K down the street where I go to buy beer before the podcast half the time has that, right? You can tap your little MasterCard fob or whatever on the thing and it pays for your beer. I don't know. Do you guys want to be able to do that with your phone? That really worries me for some reason. And maybe it's just because I buy too much beer.
Well, if that little thing at the Circle K can read it, so can UFOs and government agents. So I don't want that in my phone.
And random guys walking by. Yeah.
Yeah. I could make things a lot easier. I always have my phone out.
That's true.
Wave it and go.
The comment about the government stuff reminds me of the tinfoil hat. Sounds like you wear a tinfoil hat.
Sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I mean, yeah, sometimes I do.
Really?
Only on days that end in Y.
Yep.
Send us a picture of that, Jerry.
That'll be his new podcast picture.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, yeah, I can do that. I've got one made out of Budweiser cans, too.
I'm sure you do.
There have been all these reports of pictures being taken by the Nexus S. It's showing up in the XIF data. And then Engadget was looking at the rest of the pictures that this guy had taken and putting up on Picasa. And sure enough, there's the damn phone sitting on a table. That was pretty funny. Yeah, I'm trying to be more excited. I'm excited about Gingerbread. I really am. But I'm trying to be excited about the phone, about the Nexus S, and not just say, yay, another Android phone, because I'm a little jaded. We've seen a whole bunch of phones. Somebody show me something different. That's what I want.
That's right. There's a lot to live up to now if they want to, you know, make a big splash.
And like Craig said, you know, Craig still loves his Nexus One. I still love mine. I can't stop using it, even with all these other phones here. You know, the Nexus One is the one I pick up and take with me because I know it works and it generally works the way I want it to. You know, it's not without its faults, but geez, I mean, the thing just holds
it kind of reminds me of the iteration from the iPhone 3G to the 3GS. I mean, it's got some updates to it, but it's not that overwhelming. Like, I'd like to see something really new and different,
magical.
Yeah, something that stands out from the rest of the things that are coming out.
Would we need a hardware bump to take advantage of the was it the web VM? I forget the name. All the JavaScript improvements or Java. See, again, out of my element here.
I don't think so because, you know, Google is smart enough to make that work on Apple devices as well.
Well, and they showed it to us on the Nexus One at I.O.
Yeah. So, you know, I think what we have will take care of most of the new technology.
Now, if that Nexus S had an LTE radio in it, I'd change my tune.
Ooh.
I'd be buying that thing in a second.
Well, let's talk LTE for a minute. I got an email from somebody who told me December 5th. I've also heard December 6th is the date that LTE's switch is going to be turned on. We're still not expecting any phones before the first of the year. I wouldn't expect any before CES at the earliest, and CTIA is probably even more likely. Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to have LTE because, well, first of all, it's T-Mobile, right? We know that.
Yeah, I'm sure it won't.
So it won't have LTE. It'll have T-Mobile, quote, 4G. I'd love to have everybody this week did their stories. T-Mobile turned on HSPA Plus in 8 more cities, and half the headlines said 4G, and the other half put them in either quotation marks or just didn't say 4G altogether.
Oh, really?
Craig, where do you stand? Is T-Mo have 4G or not?
No, they don't have 4G. No, it's more like 3.5G.
And they're going the wrong way with it. They could stand up and say, hey, we've got 3G that works fast, and it uses half the battery life of everybody else's 4G. Boom.
Yep, they could do that.
These commercials are pissing
me really feel
too.
Bad for T-Mobile because they really do have the most aggressive pricing. They have a lot of the best phones. They have UMA, which is free calling on Wi-Fi that none of the other U.S. carriers want to touch, which, I mean, just saves the consumer tons of money. But they got the bad end of the stick with the frequencies there. They couldn't pick up the same frequencies as everybody else. So they really, I feel bad for them, really.
But 4G is the buzzword, right? I mean, to the average consumer, they don't need to expand on that. They just say 4G so they can compete with everyone else.
Right.
That would bother me less if they weren't just playing off the Apple commercial. I think that's what really bugs me.
Yeah, that is lame.
It's just a little too much. It's all right, guys. It's killing me how they're really waging this marketing war and websites are buying into it. It just drives me nuts. I mean, I understand we all get used and that's part of the game, but it's like, really? Really? No. Uh-uh.
But didn't Verizon do that with Droid does? They attacked Apple head on.
So oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Ready.
But at least they wrote their own commercials and didn't, you know, just riff off another one.
True.
Man. Let's see. Let's talk some more hardware. The Droid 2 Global is officially or unofficially official, whatever. Was it Verizon or Motorola? I think it was Motorola. Acknowledged it on Facebook. No, it was Verizon that did. So that's it. We're not going to do any more stories about it showing up in advertisements. Or they actually sent out an email this week. I think Verizon did. I got that too. So did other, you know, a whole bunch of other people. Just like, all right, at this point, it's official enough. It's still kind of interesting. They just kind of lowballed it and kept it quiet. But at the same time, it makes sense. We need to get our hands on one and play with that 1.2 gigahertz processor and see if it makes that big a difference.
Yep. I'm supposedly the 29th. I might be able to get one for us. We're going to see.
Well, in that advertisement, they left out the Droid 2 original.
Right. And that's the thing. On the website, it was gone. And we had heard before, I think Droid Life had something slipped to them that said, hey, we're just going to swap it out. And that makes sense. I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, you get more functionality. You don't lose anything by getting a Droid 2 Global. And it's not like you're forced to pay for the international stuff until you use it and need it. It's still locked. You still can run it on AT&T or T-Mobile, which is a shame. But so
good. Yep.
What else?
US carriers with locking phones. It's so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
US carriers are really annoying with that whole phone locking thing.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Most carriers outside the US don't lock phones, you know, really.
Well, but they also don't subsidize them.
Well, they do.
Releases heavily, right?
Well, no. If you look at like say Vodafone in the UK, you can buy pickup phones for a 1 cent or zero with a 2-year contract. So they very much subsidize them.
And then you got the standard Canadian 3-year deal. That, and I don't know. I mean, the subsidies just kill me too. I mean, somebody going out and getting a wildfire over the weekend or something like that. You know, a phone that's already ancient by the time you buy it and then getting it subsidized and you're stuck with it for 2 years. It worries me. Let's see. ACC left a WiMAX and CDMA device at the FCC over the past week. That Shift 4G, the Speedy or the Night, or how many names does this thing have now? I can't keep track.
It depends on which week you look at it.
Just call it the Unicorn because it still doesn't exist. I don't
people
know.
Do WiMAX?
What's that?
Do people use WiMAX? What's that?
I like WiMAX. What's wrong with WiMAX?
Come on.
If you can get it, it's great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'll be the first one to say I was very impressed the first time I went up into D.C. and could use it.
Yeah.
But, you know, 99% of the rest of the world,
Yep, they're going LTE, so everybody needs to play the game.
True.
Here in Seattle, I couldn't get speeds better. I got better 3G speeds than I did 4G, so I think it really depends on where you're at as well.
Let's talk about the Samsung Stealth for a second. That popped up in some DLNA certification. 4.3 inches, 480 by 800, 8 megapixel camera. The number that the Samsung designation is the SCH-i510. That's not too far off the Fascinate, right? Which is the i500.
Yep.
4.3 inches. Verizon?
Too big.
Maybe
too big. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Too big.
I've had them all now, and I've settled on 4 inches. I think 4 inches is perfect.
It's about perfect. Craig, what do you think? I mean, you've used everything under the sun.
I think 4 inches is the sweet spot.
We are in agreement. Other than that, we don't really know what it is or what it's going to be called, so we'll just have to wait and see. Some more pictures of what might be the Motorola Olympus have appeared. I think they got shopped around. Engadget got them. Gizmodo got them. This thing looks big. It looks tall. If you want to talk about
possibly... It looks like an Evo.
Well, yeah, and it looks weird. I don't know. And it's Motorola. And we've gotten a separate tip about Motorola working on a capacitive button phone. You know what else is... Hang on. Oh, never mind. I was going to say the menu button looks different from Motorola, but they did switch to that blocky menu button. I don't know. This one looks tall. The resolution looks weird. A little bit. Especially.
I think it's the angle that the picture was taken.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I think Droid Dog also heard that it's not actually the Olympus, it's the Yedna, so it's an entirely different phone. I don't know. Again, we're getting to be so many names.
Well, now I was thinking about that over drinks the other night. Isn't Mount Olympus and Mount Etna the same place in two different languages? Ooh. Yeah, that has nothing to do with phones. I just had to throw out there.
You got me.
Okay, the chat room's telling me no.
Promise the earth and give you the stars.
Wow, that's badass. Wow.
I think this is the first podcast that Phil has ever done this.
Yep.
He what? Just up and walks out. Well, so what do you think of this Motorola device? or should we move on to the next story without Phil?
You know what? That's up to you. You are the boss now. I vote for Corey.
So, question is, are you guys waiting for LTE to hurry up and get you?
Oh, I can't wait.
You know, the cool thing is, if I still live where I am now, by the time I get LTE, it'll have better battery life because it'll be like fourth generation LTE.
Where do you live? So is it out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, I live about 200 miles from nowhere out in West Virginia.
Wow. So what do you get, like 2G?
Actually, I get really good Sprint 3G and just now starting to get T-Mobile 3G. They're building it up.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So after years of struggling with just Sprint, now I can, you know, have a little bit better choice, and I'm glad for that.
I'm really happy about LTE getting onto Verizon, though, because Verizon has been the odd one out in the cell phone game. You know, I mean, 75% of the planet uses GSM, and there you come with one carrier using CDMA. So with the exception of the Android phones, the Verizon customers always got the blunt end of the stick when it comes to phone choices, you know, the old ones. They always got the old phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now, finally, when everybody's running LTE, then the choices will be a lot better for Verizon customers.
Well, Verizon's 3G network, in my experience, isn't as fast as even Sprint's 3G network. So it'll be nice to get LTE. I travel a lot. I have an air card. It's going to be available everywhere I go.
Yep.
So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Is Phil back?
I'm back.
I heard him.
Phil's back.
Did you guys just sit there the entire time?
Yeah.
We talked LTE a little bit more.
So what's next?
The Acer.
So what's next? No, Acer had a big event in New York City this past week. What all did they announce? A 4.8-inch phone. Do we call that a phone?
Yeah, oh, my God. I call that stupid.
A phablet? Is that what we decided to call those? Not quite a phone, not quite a tablet.
I mean, they should have just looked at the streak and knew that, no, you don't want to make that. It's too big and it's too little.
On the plus side, Acer hasn't broken into the U.S. ever, so it won't be our problem, right?
Right. Maybe.
What do they expect people to do with this thing?
Yeah. I mean, well, they also announced a 7-inch and 10-inch tablet. Look, I'm sold on the tablet thing, especially 7 inches. I think that's a beautiful size. But until Acer gets some sort of market here in the U.S., and by which I mean carriers, not necessarily us, you know, for most of the people listening to this podcast, it's not going to matter.
It does look like a beautiful phone, though.
It does. No, Acer's made good stuff for a long time. It's just nobody's seen any of it, right? No, it looks like a very nice phone. And it's going to make somebody really happy.
4 inches.
I mean, it could be a plasticky thing. I mean, I haven't held it, but it looks nice.
Right, right. Is that? No, that must be the camera. I don't know. These are renders, but the back of the thing almost looks like it has a trackpad, but that's probably the flash in the camera. I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see until we actually use these things. And we're not, you know, it's not going to be here before April. All right. Somebody else name me the company that likes to announce phones that it won't release for at least 6 months. Anybody?
Sony Ericsson.
Sony Ericsson. So, and we all know Apple. How that turns out. Well, yeah, but Apple at least, you know, produces, right? When they say,
yeah, you know
do
what
it.
Day you're going to.
Yeah. You know, you know what you're going to get, and then damn it, you get it. Sony Ericsson, yeah. So we'll see.
I'm looking at the specs of this thing, and if it were 4 inches, I'd probably stand in line overnight for this.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
All right.
I love
read
the
me some specs.
And I
read
love
me some
it.
Specs.
Everything but the screen.
It's got a 1024 by
480
screen. Yep. It's got HSPDA. It's got Bluetooth 3, 21 to 9 screen. What else? It's got a decent processor. It has a 1 gigahertz Snapdragon, which I guess is nothing revolutionary.
It's 8
megapixel camera, 2 megapixel front-facing camera. I think it's that screen that I want to get my hands on.
It looks really that weird, and part of the reason it's so tall is because it looks like it has a little dock down at the bottom with 8 icons, and then you have like a main screen. And what we're seeing is a renderer, so who knows how that would change. Especially if they're announcing it that far out, it kind of makes me think that they don't have the UI totally worked out. Because hardware, you know, you do that first and then work the software around it. So I don't know. We'll see. They have to get a carrier partner in the U.S. before it'll matter here at all.
Yeah.
Maybe that they showed it off in New York City means a little bit. Or maybe they were, you know, that was the showcase to show the carriers. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I know an Acer custom UI scares me. I will be upfront about that. Well, I love Acer netbooks. That's all I use because of their hardware compatibility. And anything that they touch and customize, they make worse. And I'm sorry, Acer, I do love your netbooks, but stop touching stuff.
What about the supposed PlayStation phone? There's a little French thing that supposedly said it's going to come December 9th. I don't think that's going to happen. That's too early. TechCrunch got something that said it's going to be announced at Mobile World Congress in February, and we'll undoubtedly be there. Anybody excited about this at all? I'm just not sold on the kind of themed phone like this.
I got a computer to play games on. You know, I'm worried that a phone designed to play games with being a phone as the secondary afterthought isn't going to work very well.
Sony Ericsson.
Well, I wasn't even going to go there.
Surprise,
it's
not launching
with
PlayStation 2. No, it'll launch with PlayStation 2 software and then not get updated.
Yeah.
Well, I think the whole PlayStation branding will favor well for them. I think that's going to help a lot.
So what's the point of the phone? Is it going to be some random phone that's called a PlayStation phone, or is it actually going to be a Sony phone that runs PlayStation software? And, you know, what's the deal with it?
Well, and, you know, the leaks we see sure looks like some sort of gaming phone, right? With the proper buttons and gamepad. I don't know. Do people need the combination that much?
I don't know. Maybe the other
generation. You know, I'm glad that it'd be available for people that really want it, but I still am worried that, you know, how good is the phone going to work when that's just an afterthought?
Well, I'm sure they'll make it work fine. Why wouldn't they?
Well, because they're Sony Ericsson.
Yes. It'll probably have 2.0 on it or something.
Right. No timescape.
The idea of a phone that can play games is a pretty big hit, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
iPhones have great games.
Android phones have great games.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So it can be done.
I'm not sure it needs to be done with a controller attached to it. But I've been proven wrong before.
As long as Angry Bird ships with it, I'll buy it.
Yeah, exactly. That's my new benchmark. I'm not running Quadrant anymore. I'm not doing Linpack. I'm just running Angry Birds. If it runs Angry Birds, we're good.
You're not sick of that game yet?
Yeah, actually I am. No, actually, all I've done for the past week and a half, I just read 3 books on the Galaxy tab and just kind of have been doing that nonstop. I haven't even been playing games on it. I'm ready for new games. Oh, you know what I did try this morning on it was that Must Eat Birds game. It's one of those, when you talk about it now, OpenFaint, which is that kind of social networking thing sort of for gaming, right? You can share scores, you can play against your friends on different platforms. They brought out 8 new games this week, including Frogger. I need to go play that. I haven't played that yet. And another one was called Must Eat Birds, and everyone's like, you got to play this, you got to play this. It's the coolest thing. I almost had a seizure. It's one of those crazy-ass Japanese games, and I'm sure a lot of people really like it. It drives me nuts, just the music and the graphics. And it's kind of one of those slingshotty games. I mean, you've played these before, you know, countless times, little flash games where you have to pop bubbles and balloons and stuff like that. Kind of the same premise, only in this case it's birds, and you have to eat them with little things that go nom, 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 nom. It's fun, I guess, but not for me.
How do they go?
Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah.
Did you say you were playing those on your tablet?
Yeah, I played them on the Galaxy Tab.
So you must really like it.
I like the Tab a lot. I don't know that I like it $600 a lot. Same story as last week. That hadn't changed.
Yeah.
Craig, you've used a Tab, right?
Actually, I have not.
Oh, you have not. Oh, see, that was me 2 weeks ago until I finally got one. The 7 inches is perfect.
I'm not sure I'm sold on the 7-inch form factor, though.
Really? Really?
It's too small for me. It looks like a big smartphone.
Yeah, and I don't have an iPad laying around the house, so I don't have that in my head. Do you have an iPad?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm not sure if that would affect me one way or the other, but I don't really have too much to compare it to.
Right. I like the 10-inch form factor. I think it works very well, especially when you're reading or watching videos, browsing the web. 3 of those work great at 10 inches.
The more I use it, it's like I would love to have this thing around. I can't keep it in the living room. If you just want to browse something, you're still stuck with it. Well, you're not stuck. You have all the Android browsers you can come up with, but none of them is fast enough at all yet. I don't know why. Hmm. Is that going to change, Jerry, do you think, with Gingerbread and the new stuff? I think we'll see a significant increase?
I don't know. Do you mean the rendering isn't fast?
Takes forever.
Is it not as fast as your Nexus?
No, it's about exactly as fast, which still isn't great, right?
So it's smartphone fast, but not...
Right.
Yeah, I hope they change that for tablet. I bet they don't change it in Gingerbread. Yeah, but maybe they'll have some sort of custom browser interface for Honeycomb or whatever they're going to name their tablet OS.
What do you guys think about apps? They're going to get almost movie ratings. They're going to get content ratings. Developers will give them ratings. And in fact, starting this Monday, anytime you upload a new app or update an app, you're going to have to give it a rating, right? And if you don't rate it, eventually it'll just be rated all. So you have 4 ratings. You have all, preteen, teen, and mature.
Good.
Yeah?
I think so. That's better than filtering it out and blocking stuff. Mark it mature and let it up there for the people who want it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So we'll worry about filter out some of the spam, the wallpapers, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I was thinking that too. But at least I won't have to. You know, if I've got a daughter, and yes, she's an adult, but she's still my little girl. And if she's playing with, you know, whatever tablet or phone or whatever I've got here demoing out, she picks it up and goes to the market and downloads something that I don't want, you know, I at least want her to know what it is before she's shocked with it. And that's what this will do.
What's your reservation, Phil?
I worry about the carriers getting a hold of it and,
yep,
and just doing something stupid. I think there should be options for parents to, you know, turn off mature apps. I think it should be up to the parent. I kind of wish that doesn't happen, right? I think it should be open to everybody. But the parents should have the options to turn that off. But I just worry about the carriers doing something stupid. I mean, we've already seen what AT&T does with the market and sideloading apps. And just, I can't predict what they're going to do. And that scares me.
Oh, wow. Now I'm scared.
Yeah, I don't want the carriers filtering it at all.
Yeah, I don't want Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile deciding what apps I can and can't have. Not even a tiny bit.
And I'm not saying they would. I'm thinking worst case.
But they could.
Yeah. Because we already know they can filter. You know, there are certain things you can already filter in the market.
Right.
and it's just, you know, it's attributes on the app. What else? I don't know. Craig, doesn't bother you at all?
I think it's a good idea for the exact reason that you want to be able to filter things for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the main reason.
Gotta hope my wife doesn't look to see what's on my phone.
Yeah, and the other thing is, the other end is, if you really want to get adult content, you can without offending everybody else.
Or you can just launch a web browser.
Well, I mean, adult content apps.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever we can think of in there, right?
iPhone apps, are they rated at all?
No.
I don't think so.
No, because anything that's going to probably fall in the mature category isn't going to make it on the iPhone.
Right, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, no, that's true. All right. I'm on board for now. With reservations.
What I really think people should do is make the App Store much easier to find stuff.
Yes.
I'm finding good content in the App Store. It's the App Marketplace. It's ridiculously complicated. It shouldn't be like that.
Well, in like Google's own apps can be tough to find. Google Listen, yep. If you search for that, it's like the fifth one down. I didn't have to scroll to get to it. And it's not the only one. A couple other ones are like that too. What's the, is it Launcher Pro or ADW that is impossible to find? Yeah, it's impossible to find in the market. Search for the developer, search for the app, and all you get are the themes for it. You don't actually find the app.
You know, searching by keywords is kind of good, but that's the whole reason why we can't find what we want. Because developers will put the word Google as a keyword. Mm-hmm. They're smart.
Right.
It's a mess. Such a mess.
AppBrain introduced some pretty good sorting functionality, though, recently.
Well, yeah, and then they had other stuff. They had other stuff turned off recently, too. AppBrain's in a weird position, and this is something I asked about after I.O. And I asked the AppBrain guys when I ran into them, because Google had just showed us all this really cool stuff that they have planned. And Jerry wrapped up some of that. Was it this week, Jerry, or last week? I forget when we did that post. You know, here are things that Google said they're working on. And so maybe we'll see them now, and maybe we won't. And a lot of those were updates and improvements to the market. So you can search from the web, and just all sorts of things like that, which would almost render something like AppBrain and AndroLib and a couple of the other sites just obsolete. At the time, they said they weren't worried about it. But actually, AppBrain, was it the quick install or the web install, was just killed after a recent market update. So that quit working. And they're kind of at the mercy of Google, right? I mean, it's almost like the old WebOS iTunes kind of cat and mouse thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as public, I think. But they're at the mercy of Google. If Google changes something, they have to fix it and work around it. And, you know, not sure how much longer Google's going to nod and wink at them.
You know, we can only hope when Google does get something semi-finalized, because with Google, everything's beta.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll open up the API. And then if AppBrain wants to rebuild, they can do it, and then we can decide which one works better.
Well, anytime you develop a product that is an enhancement to the stock functionality, you are taking the risk that at some point Google is going to enhance it to a point where you become irrelevant. Whether it's a launcher or the market app, especially the market app. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. You're going to see a lot of improvements to that over time.
Yeah, I mean, the difference here, though, is this isn't a launcher where they're using, you know, Android APIs to write an app. You know, it's a launcher, and it overwrites the stock functionality. But with AppBrain, they're kind of backdoored their way in. You know, they used to work at Google. They know how it works. So it's, I don't think it's illegal. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong about it, but you know, I don't even want to say shady, but you know, just the way they're going about it, it's not quite as open, and you're going to run into problems just like they did with the WebOS iTunes thing.
And we need to remember that the market, it may be the Android market, but it's not part of Android. Google owns that, and there's nothing open source about it.
Right. So no, I don't see them putting out APIs for it or feeds, or if they're smart, they would.
Let me ask you a question. How does Double Twist allow you to buy apps? What are they? Are they tapped into an API we don't know about?
I think they're kind of tied in the same way that AppBrain is. I'm not sure how they did it or who they're working with to do it. But all it does is pop up a QR code, right? Or will it tie in directly?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll tie in directly now, but it's still not directly tied into the market. I think they're doing it the exact same way, basically.
Does it still work on Double Twist?
Hey, guess who has projects tonight?
But see, now Double Twist doesn't install. I think we're getting off track here. AppBrain, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, Craig. You go to AppBrain's website, and as long as you have your phone set up, you can click a link on AppBrain's website. 10 seconds later, the app is installed on your phone with no user intervention.
Okay, got it.
And that's what's not working after the changes.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Jerry, you want to talk about that tablet you reviewed? The G-tablet?
Sure. That was fun. I'm not a tablet guy.
Back up and tell me what it was, right?
It's the ViewSonic 10-inch G-tablet, not the dual boot Windows 7 Android one that's upcoming. This is just their cheap, they call it the G-tablet. And it's Android 2.2. Tegra 2 processor, 512 RAM, 18 gigs of storage with an external slot. So, it's got plenty of storage on it. It runs pretty fast. The hardware itself, the default UI is absolutely horrible. but I give them credit because the default UI was definitely, it's nothing like we're used to. It's written for a 10-inch tablet. It's dual pane, big windows. It's beautiful. And if it wasn't so slow, it would be great. It would be something that I would want to, have on a tablet, put it on the living room table. Anybody walks by needs to check the calendar or something, they pick it up and do it. But the way it runs now, it's so slow, it's hardly usable, at least not to me. I don't have the patience for it. But once you hack it and put regular Android on it, it's fast. It's still only running on one core because Froyo doesn't support the dual core Tegra. Hopefully they do that in Gingerbread and somebody can put Gingerbread on it and we can see what really fast next generation hardware does.
Ask me again in 2 months. I think we're going to see a lot come CES.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's a bunch of tablets out there. I'm going to use the word cheap. There's a bunch of cheap tablets out there. But this one kind of stood out to me because of the hardware, not the software at all. So I tracked one down and we had a quick look at it. And I'm glad I did.
Do you guys think that that BlackBerry is going to play in the tablet world or not?
I'm excited about the playbook. I watched the announcement and that thing looks pretty sweet.
I want one. I don't like tablets. I'm a netbook fellow. I like my keyboard, but I want a BlackBerry tablet.
Now, why do you want a BlackBerry tablet, though?
Because it's different. I want to see how they use the Air interface. And I am a fan of QNX. I programmed for QNX for years before it became part of RIM.
Okay.
And I know what it can do. So the playbook can be a spectacular device.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people like you have actually written for QNX. I think you can pronounce it QNX, right?
We always pronounced it QNX, but I'm an old, basement darkroom kind of guy, and it's close to real time. That's why we used it on equipment and stuff and embedded.
I think it's QNX because it's actually Linux. But I'm excited to see what RIM will do with it. But it's just they will just be another player coming late to the game.
But they're bringing something new, so I'll give them a pass on being so late because what they're bringing is new and different.
Well, hopefully it'll be different enough.
Yeah.
Well, and they're bringing it to a big-ass audience, right? I mean, people who have BlackBerries now hear BlackBerry tablet, and, suddenly, ears perk up, whereas you hear Android tablet, and it's just, okay.
Right. You're right about that, excepting it's a completely different animal from a BlackBerry we have today. It's running a different OS, going to have apps, different development cycles, everything.
But BlackBerry itself, have they talked about it moving to QNX 2 or no?
I think they've only hinted it that the smartphone is a QNX. Mm. But that's probably what.
Yeah, I got $5 that says they moved to it.
Only $5?
Well, you know where I work. OS updates, nothing really big over the past week, have we? I guess the last big one.
Corey had something kind of big.
Well, that's true. Corey got his hands, you sneaky little devil, you, on a maintenance update that is still not out yet for the Fastnate, right? For the Verizon Fastnate. And what did you find in said update?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. The GPS works perfectly now. I've traveled to Canada. I've traveled all over Washington.
On purpose, right?
Southern. I bought some flights, flew up there. Because before, you know, I'd go somewhere, I'd land, and it would take 15 minutes for it to find. I mean, I'd be wherever I needed to be by the time I found a lock. It is just wonderful now. I was really worried before the update that it was a hardware issue that was never going to be fixed. And so I'd kind of given up. I'd tried 5 different Fastnates. But yeah, I got this update installed. It runs really well. Hopefully, they haven't even announced it yet, so who knows when it's going to be released. But the GPS is, as far as I'm concerned, it's fixed. That'll make a lot of people happy.
Cool. Yeah, well, people with Fastnates. I know a lot of people with Captivates, Vibrants, and Epics who are still pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
Add the Continuum to that list.
Really?
The Continuum.
Yep, yeah. GPS is a complete dud.
Mm.
Which kills me. The Mesmerize, and that's the part that kills me, is it's so intermittent. The Mesmerize I had here, it worked perfectly every time I tried it. The Continuum worked once.
Well, that's actually not surprising, all right? Think back to when I first saw the Continuum. I mean, that was early August, right? That was like the second week of August, or it was the end of August. That's when it was. It was the end of August. Whereas the Mesmerize, you know, was, at that point, was kind of established software, and they've probably been tweaking and fixing up until that release, right? So that, it's not too surprising. Unfortunate, but not too surprising.
Yep.
Speaking of things that are not surprising, Sony Ericsson gave us an update on why the X10 hasn't been updated yet. And basically they said, because, you guys in the U.S., you didn't get it till August, so you got to wait. Never mind the fact that that's, you know, 10 months since it was announced, and we've had, you know, the better part of a year to at least get it up to 2.1.
Aren't they pretty much saying we haven't started working on it yet?
That's kind of what it sounded like. Now, look, I mean, there's a finite amount of time and muscle that you can put into these things. I understand that.
Well,
but come on.
Maybe Taylor Swift is on tour and they're busy, you know, with that instead.
It's just sad. I mean, we're 11 months away from when I first touched this thing at CES, and it's still not on 2.1. It's ridiculous. I'm done with it. I know. Why do we talk about this so much? For a phone that, man.
Because it's aggravating, because it's such a good, nice feeling piece of hardware. You know, it's built so well, and it's just so nice looking, and then until you turn it on, and it's just frustrating.
Haven't they been doing this for years, though, with their phones?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, with the whole X, go back to the X1 on Windows Mobile.
You know, and we keep falling for it.
So. Yeah, it was announced. Yeah, I should know better. you know, it was announced with whatever and didn't come out for like 8 months after that and was still way too. It was like $800. I think Dieter had to get a second mortgage to buy one. And you know, I don't think you've ever seen anyone carrying them around. They got no carrier support. And we'll see.
Clearly, they're not in the business of manufacturing cool phones. That's not their target right now.
Well, I mean, that's Sony Ericsson's only business. And you know, they had four phones, released at Mobile World Congress. You know, the X10 Mini and the X10 Mini Pro, and then a Bata phone. And the Mini and Mini Pro, for, you know, what it's worth, are interesting. The things were tiny. But, you know, go back to, that's the question I asked Sir Howard Stringer in my exhausted, drunken state, was when are we going to see any of this stuff in the U.S.? And it's up to the carriers.
He should have pulled off a glove and challenged you to a duel.
He could have smacked me upside the head at that point, and I wouldn't even have noticed. Yikes. The X. Why do I let the X10 do this to me?
I don't know.
Why do I let it excite me so?
Did you used to have some really cool Sony phone that?
Nope.
Did they ever make a really cool Sony phone?
Hey, the X1 and the X2 were cool. It's just, you know, you can never get them. by the time they came out,
you know,
they weren't
the
cool
N8's
anymore.
Cool too, but
well, yeah. Sigh. Yeah, that's it for updates. Nothing. The hero's getting one. There might be issues with it. Stand by. Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
I was in a good mood. You guys bring me down, man.
What did we do to bring you down? I think Sony brought you down.
Yeah. You can do some voicemails. That'll perk me up.
There you go.
All right.
You cannot hear this anywhere else.
Good.
Yeah, really.
Craig laid off for the sound effects the whole podcast, man. That's willpower.
You know, you guys said you ran a professional ship here, so I didn't want to bring it down.
What?
Yeah, okay.
What? I don't think any of us said that.
No. I got remember, you warned me in the beginning, no sound effects. It must be professional. So I kept up.
You should hear it when Mickey's here.
Ready?
While we're in a part of the podcast that more than likely will be edited out, Craig has to wrap it up. That voice, I love that voice.
Oh,
it
absolutely.
Makes me melt.
We'll make him read it.
Sure, I'll do that.
All right, let's do some voicemails. We will start with Bill.
Hello, this is Bill from Arlington, Texas. Hi, guys. Love the podcast. Just received my new Droid 2 Global Edition last week, and so far I'm generally quite happy with one exception. This phone, as well as, I guess, the Droid Pro, I believe, is being marketed as a phone for business travelers. And as such, I can't believe there's no expeditious way of synchronizing with Microsoft Outlook for calendar, tasks, contacts, etc. On my previous phones, the BlackBerry Storm and the HD2, it was simply a matter of popping the phone into the sync cradle and using the desktop client to sync all of the above. On this phone, I was able to figure out Google Sync, but transferring contacts was a real pain. Even my friend that has a Droid Eris has an HTC Sync client, which performs the desired task. The question is there a client program that will provide a one-step synchronization with the desired features of Outlook? Keep up the good work, guys, and look forward to any help you can provide. Thank you.
Now, if you tie to an Exchange account, can you not transfer over your contacts?
No, I think he means over the wire to his own Outlook, you know, on his laptop. And he's right.
And not through Exchange.
Yeah, Motorola doesn't have, you know, that's not part of their software suite. Maybe it should be.
I think he needs, I think the missing sync does that.
Yeah, I know one of them does.
Yeah. But,
or the other alternative is to sync Outlook through Google.
Which yes, I was going to say that way you should go.
Yeah.
Because then it's automatic.
Yeah. You should do it anyway, really, just as a backup.
Yeah. Gmail is a way.
Yeah.
But otherwise, missing sync. Yeah.
Sync.
Okay, let's now do John.
My name's John. I had an old school question about the Nexus One. I had it ever since the day it came out. Bought it online from Google, and I've never been able to truly and genuinely send videos. You know, everything's the file size is too big. I can condense it down to 2 megapixels and go to 30 seconds. Every 1 out of 20 might send. Oh, I mean, is it possible to send a 5 megapixel nice video that's a minute or two long to another phone or to an email or anywhere? I mean, I need to send videos of them with my Mac, have a little decent quality, and they're not like fuzzy 2 megapixel videos. You know, if you got any help on that, I still have that question. Still had the phone. I haven't been able to really send any good quality videos to anybody. Thank you. I watch you guys all the time. I'm on the stage.
Dropbox.
There you go. YouTube.
Dropbox.
So he also said email. Can you not? So I could understand you not being able to send it via MMS, but can you not email it either on the Nexus One?
I don't know that I've tried, but you should be able to as long as it's under the file size limit.
I mean, that's what I do. MMS is the fact that you can't send a file that big via MMS is a carrier restriction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But kind of email
cool
should
joke.
Work.
Well, I mean, you're assuming he's using Gmail. Might not be.
Right.
Well, I'm assuming I personally use Exchange, so, and I never have any problems. But yeah, it does depend, I guess, on the email client you're using.
So you could definitely upload it to YouTube, like everybody's pointed out. What would the Dropbox thing be? You'd have to give them a different. You'd have to give the people you want to see the video a URL, right?
Well, yeah, and that's not necessarily a good way to do it either. But if you're just trying to get it off your phone, or here's another one: pop the card out if that's all you're trying. But if you really are trying to give it to somebody else to watch, those aren't good answers at all.
Even I think would be the best.
Yeah. Burn it to a DVD and send it to them in the mail.
Put it in the mail. Strap it to a carrier pigeon.
It's about to be 2011. There should be an easier way.
There yeah. really should.
You know, they didn't work on the flying cars, so at least they work on some sending some gear from the front.
All right. One last voicemail for this week.
Hello, this is Alan Rickman calling from Shoss for the Android Central podcast. I have a question regarding an Android phone. You see, I recently rooted said device. And though I enjoy the benefits of tethering, I have heard murmurs of cyanogen and wish to know the benefits of said ROM. I feel they are not concisely explained. Please elaborate.
Jerry just typed in the chat room, he killed Dumbledore! That was
You're
not
gonna
actually
have to translate to my hillbilly ears. I didn't even understand that. I'm sorry.
That was Alan. Not actually Snape, but it would have been cool if it was.
That's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Oh Lord.
What are the benefits of tethering and or cyanogen? Just do it. Don't ask. Just do it. And don't
yeah, if you
anymore.
Just if you try it, you'll see them instantly. You know, the benefits of cyanogen mod.
That is a great answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do it. It
Don't
works better.
Do a couple of emails real quick. Who wants to start? Volunteers. Show of hands.
I'll start. Devin writes, my father has a brand new Captivate. He likes the swipe keyboard most, but he would like to be able to use speech to test text seamlessly. On my Captivate running Cognition 2.41, the swipe keyboard has the speech to text icon, but Dad's does not. I think this is because I have a newer version of swipe installed. I've dug through his settings and cannot find a setting that will make the speech to text icon appear. Is there a way to update his swipe without rooting his phone?
No.
That'd be a negative. That's
And in fact, they explicitly say don't put the beta version of swipe over an OEM version, you know, that's preloaded on the device. That ends badly and in tears.
I'm just surprised. I didn't know that the version that shipped on the Galaxy S phones didn't have the voice capability. I thought it did.
It's pretty new, and they've updated it occasionally. I forget which phone, but some phone got an official update, and it updated that, I think. So, you know, they can do it. It's just a matter of it coming.
Yeah.
Let's see. SmokeXZ writes, I'm just curious what you guys think about dual core. Everyone has told me that dual core will actually save battery life. What I hear, the faster the process is done, the more battery life it is saved. However, wouldn't the dual core be consuming more battery life to finish the process faster? I mean, that's kind of the question I've been asking you guys for a while now, right? Everyone's like, oh my God, Tegra 2 is coming. And I'm a big fan of Tegra and Tegra 2. But, you know, oh my God, Tegra 2 is coming and dual core is coming and it's going to be awesome.
Voltage.
Mm-hmm.
You can have 156 cores, and if you've got low voltage and they all can, you know, run on a big fat piece of pipe and, you know, run it at a lower voltage, you're going to save battery.
Okay, so this is the first time I've heard this. So the Tegra 2 dual core could actually save battery life? Is that what you guys are saying? Really?
Yeah. Huh. The newer Snapdragon, you know, the one in the MyTouch 4G, it's not a dual core, but it has a separate memory area where it does like some phone critical functions, and they say that helps save battery. Just that. It can do two functions at the same time using the same voltage.
So if that were the only thing that processor offered, I'd be very happy. I don't need more speed.
Well, now this is theory, Corey. You know, we haven't seen it in action yet. It may, you know, you may need to carry jumper cables with one.
Jeez.
So, Jerry, I think that the idea behind the dual core is that because it's two CPUs, every time there's a clock cycle, two functions can happen at the same time, right?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And if it's, you know, if it's built, I'm going to use the word right, if it's built right and it has a lot of bandwidth at each clock cycle and both clocks fire at once and they do all these things and it's only using, you know, it's sipping power at a certain voltage for this number of milliseconds, it's better to do more on that little bit of power than it is on, you know, when you're doing less on the same amount of power. It's, right. You know, it's hard to explain, but, you know, I hope I'm making, you know, a little bit of sense.
That so you're sense. Working, you're working half as hard, not twice as fast.
Right. Right.
Huh. Usually when you think of CPU increases, you think of speed, but this is more a function of the dual core processor.
I think the rule of thumb is if the CPU is faster, that means the clock is ticking over quicker, then yeah, the battery does go down quicker. But in this case, it's two CPUs going on the one clock cycle. So, yeah.
Right. If they, you know, like look at on laptops, they increased the number of cores and lowered the speed and they get better performance.
Mm.
Cool. Hook me up.
We'll see.
Craig, you want the next one?
Oh, you give me the long one, eh?
Yeah.
Yes.
You got the good voice.
It's like a whole book over here.
Yeah.
Rob writes, is there a way to change the default Gmail on the phone without having to do a hard reset? Actually, I read this earlier and I couldn't believe that Verizon does this. My sister recently bought a Droid X and she's a novice. Unfortunately, the Verizon employees probably don't explain things well to people and they set up crazy email addresses for people. For example, if your name is Bill, they will set up your default account as bill6437@gmail.com, which is silly. Why didn't they just ask you what your real Gmail account is? Now she is wanting to use her Gmail account because the other one is not professional. Adding an additional Gmail account is a possibility, but I think for a novice, that is not the way to do it. I do understand apps would no longer show up with a new email address, but I think in this case, there won't be too many apps to worry about. Also, on another topic, if you purchase a Bing phone? Okay, I guess he means a Windows phone, right?
No. I think he means a Continuum or a...
They did the same thing to Android that they did to the Storm and the Tour on Verizon. Took away the Google option.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. So it's a Google. It's an Android phone with Bing.
Yes.
Jeez. If you purchase a Bing phone from Verizon, are you still required to enter a Gmail account upon startup or setup of the phone? If not, where are market downloads and purchases signed to? There you go.
Yeah. So no, you have to use Gmail at first to set the thing up. Now you don't actually have to enter account information at first, right? You can activate the phone on Verizon, but not actually enter account info, which is what I do half the time. But you can't go back and change the default account, which is actually kind of unfortunate. Yeah. And more people than you think actually ask about how to do that. But yeah, Verizon needs to stop helping it set up.
So there's no way to do it. I mean, you really do have to.
I'm not going to say that there's no way to do it. I'm sitting here thinking, if you purposefully delete your token, if you go into the software and delete your saved Gmail token, and then use the wrong password, I think 4 times, you have to log back into Gmail completely. I wonder what would happen if you just put your new information in there. Now, none of your Gmail or Google content is going to sync. You know, the old one is, you know what? Skip that. Don't try that. Let one of us try it first.
Yes.
My mom is not going to do that when she buys her phone. Right.
It's probably easier to wipe the phone than it is to deal with two accounts that aren't syncing. And yeah.
Right.
It is. I had to do that once and I was not happy. When you go into remove an account, it's grayed out. You can't get rid of the default account. You have to reset it. Now, standard procedure for Verizon should not be, at least in my experience, they don't force you to use some new account. Usually they'll ask you, do you have a Gmail account? If you do, they'll have you plug it in. If you don't, they'll have you create a new one. He may have just gotten a rep that didn't know or was new or something like that.
Lucky awesome. They didn't try to put a task killer on it to fix it.
Well, so that was probably the next thing they did.
Yeah, just kill Gmail with the task killer. And
yeah, exactly.
Actually, when I went to activate or reactivate my Droid X and move the line off the Droid 2, you know, they're corporate accounts or whatever through Smartphone Expert, so I just can't do it from home. And so I go to the store, and they switch it with no problem. And she's like, oh, well, give me your Google information, and I'll put that in for you. And I'm like, nah, that's all right. I'm good. She's like, really? It's like, it's already there. I just need service to activate. And it was like the most confusing thing to her. And I'm sure nobody else has ever come in and done that. But it's like, just activate my phone. Leave me alone. No task.
I would imagine, yeah, that the most, you know, most Android savvy users probably just order online. And the reps are only trying to help people that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And who wants the last one?
I got the last one because it's short. Will writes.
Hang on. Corey was going to say something.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I'm sorry. Just to address his very last question, the fact that it has Bing on the phone, it's totally separated from the market piece. So right. It just does search and maps and things like that. You still sign in with your Google account. You still purchase applications with that Google account. You don't purchase applications through Bing or through Microsoft.
You hate Bing, don't you, Corey?
Oh, man. It kept me up all night when I first bought my phone. I think Phil and I were up at 2 in the morning trying to figure out how to get rid of it.
Yeah, at C Streeter on Twitter, if you need to get rid of Bing, he is.
Yeah. About forum.androidcentral.com/fascinate.
Yes. The sad thing about Bing is that if anybody's watching Hawaii 5, Microsoft owns that show. They keep working it in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched it this past.
They keep making the character say, why don't you Bing that? And I feel like,
really?
Gosh. This makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Let me check my decision engine. Yeah, not so much. Bing. All right, Jerry, last one.
All right. Will writes, I've recently rooted my phone for the first time. I'm just now discovering the awesome world of putting ROMs on my Droid X. I've put on the Rubik's ROM, which made my phone blurless. But there are some things I miss about Blur, including the messaging and camera interface. Is there any way I can get those back or put a new interface on those? I want to jump right out and say no, not on that, you know, not once you've taken Blur off. But the people that have done what they've done with the Motorola software without having full access to the phone, they've done some amazing things. Blur is still running on your phone. It has to be. They've just tweaked the daylights out of it. So I'm not going to say never. It doesn't sound very likely, but I know a lot of people would like what you want. So I'll never say never, but don't count on it.
And there's some pretty cool apps that can replace both messaging and the camera interface. I won't tell you what they are, but I know they're just search the market. Handsent. Whatever.
What's a good phone or a good camera? Shoot, there's lots of good camera interfaces.
There's a really good one, but the name is escaping me right now. Vignette.
There it is.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yep. Everybody loves Vignette.
But he's got a point. I would, if I had an X, if I could get Verizon service around here, I'd have a Droid X probably. I would not want to run most of Blur. But a couple of the widgets I'd really like. It would be cool if one of you guys out there that are making these ROMs, and I say it's still running Blur, the people making the ROMs know what I mean. If there's any way you can have that framework push out for the widgets and things like the camera, that'd be really cool.
KP will do it.
There you go. So let it be written.
So let it be done.
There you go.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That is our post-Thanksgiving stuffed with too much turkey and stuffing, sluggish, need to take a nap podcast.
Extra large, turbo char.
And that's Craig Johnston from the crackberry.com podcast. and author of two, not one, but two Android books, My Nexus One and My Droid. We'll have links in the show notes for everybody not listening live. Go buy them. Buy two copies.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Send them to your friends.
I picked up your Nexus, Greg. Very nice. Yes, yes I Thank did. Very, very nice work.
I really had to convince Q not to drop it completely. I just felt that people would still buy it.
Well, sure. It's an interesting subject to a lot of us.
Yeah, and a lot of people still have Nexus 1, like we say, we love them.
It's still a developer phone.
Yes.
Can't deny that. Well, Craig, since you're our special guest for the evening, why don't you wrap it up for us?
Well, be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. Also, get us all on Twitter. That's @AndroidCentral, @PhilNickinson, @iBanyan, @GBHIL, and follow our list for all of the other writers. Brought to you by the Android Central store at store.androidcentral.com or call 888-468-6158. You can also leave voicemail at 888-468-6158, extension 222. My name is Craig Johnston. Thanks for listening.
And not to be left out, at
no,
Streeter.
Yes. Sorry, that's my fault. Phil, fail. I'll be editing the show notes right now, actually.
Pure genius.
Oh, gonna have to have Craig back just to do those.
I'll be back anytime.
Awesome. We will definitely have you back on. Craig, Jerry, Corey, thank you very much. Mickey, we miss
thank you. Thank
you. Come back soon. Hi, Mickey. I like to leave Mickey secret messages.
Stick a fork in the turkey?
Stick a fork in the turkey. All right, Craig, Corey, Jerry, everybody else, chat room, everybody listening at home, happy Thanksgiving. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.